thinks they tries plans to do a mitzvah, and then the nanas who can't do it, it counts as if they accomplished it. If we left off with Sif Mem, which was talking about two women who share a dress, lend a dress to one another. And there, that was an easy case. Okay, there was some diukim, we didn't get into the Nosa Kalim, but the shot was very simple. If you examined it in between Rachel and Leah, and it was clean, then you know Rachel's clean and it's Leah's kesem. Mem Aleph is going to be more complicated and on. What if Rachel and Leah shared a dress, and they didn't check it in between? So we mamish 50-50, have no way of knowing whether the kesem is from Rachel or from Leah. What do we do in such a case? Okay, is this so relevant nowadays? It's not super relevant nowadays because even though women share clothing, they don't usually share underwear, and the stains get trapped in the underwear. But it could be if two women share a bathing suit, let's say. You could have such a shayla, or, you know, share a clean towel or something like that. You could theoretically have such a shayla, not that it's going to be common, but let's try to get the principles down. Mem Aleph. Lav shecholek habadaklo u'pshato v'shilato li'israelit nida'o l'goya. If a woman wears a checked, clean dress, and she takes it off, and then lends it to another nida, a Jewish nida, or to a non-Jewish woman, who had already reached 12 years old and gotten her period once, even though she's not seeing it now, this is based on the machlok between the Rambam and everyone else, how to understand who you're tola on, right? Who are you tola on? The Gemara says, that if there are two women and one of them is like a better candidate, we'll see how to define a better candidate in a second, then then you're tola on the other woman if she is a nida. That is very clear. The second example is Nachris Shera'asa, a non-Jewish woman who saw. Now, what does it mean, who saw? Is it machlok seen the Rambam and most of the Rishonim, the Rashba, and others? What does the Rambam say? A goyish woman who saw? What does it mean, saw?
Her period.
Her saw her period now. Like, who is now a Nida. I mean, she doesn't have the laws of the halachas of Nida, but who's now in her period. So the Rambam says this means Rasa Hashta. Meaning, she's a nida, whether a Jewish nida or a Gaiish nida. And even though it seems to be the same thing as the Jewish nida then, so the Gemara does say it's the same thing. Okay, that's the Rambam. However, the Rashba and others say, no, it means rasa pam achas. It means she can't be nine. If she's nine or if she's 12 and never got a period, how can you be told on her? That's ridiculous. She's not even in the ballpark. She's not in shaykh. It's like being told on a table. But if she got her period once, she's in the parsha. Even if right now she says, what do you mean right now my period ended 2 weeks ago? It's not coming for another 2 weeks. What's the problem? No, we're still tola on this non-Jewish woman. We paskin, like the Rashba, she can be tola on a non-Jewish woman even as long as she's in the parsha of bleeding. As long as she once 12 and once got her period, even if right now she's totally clean. And then the Machab makes this super duper clear, even though she's not seeing her period when she borrowed your dress, nonetheless you can be told on her. And then you find a stain, tola behen utahora. There are two women, one of them's a regular tahora woman and one's a nida. The tahora can be told on the nida and she's okay. The tahora can be told on the non-Jewish woman and she's okay. The first example is if she wore it and then lent it to the Nida or to the non-Jewish woman. And then he says, and it's the same if she first lent it to the Nida, non-Jewish woman, and then wore it. I mean, it doesn't matter the order of who wore it first, who wore it second. It's not even what's the hobby, the order should matter. Maybe the question is, it doesn't matter, like when you find the kesem, who's holding on to it now, right? You don't say, like, the kesem goes with whoever wore it, like, last, before you found the kesem. No. Doesn't matter who wore it first or who wore it last. the kesem is attributed to the nida or the non-Jewish woman, and not to the tahora. V'afilu b'sfiyas shiva nikiyam. Even if the tahora woman is in her shiva nikiyam, so she's not totally tahora, nonetheless, if I'm in my shiva nikiyam and you're a nida, I blame the kesem on you. If I'm in my shiva nikiyam and you're a non-Jewish woman, then I blame the kesem on you. See, they are in Kuf Tzadi Vav. We've seen this. They come up a few times in Nosei Kalim, although we'll see it in Kuf Tzadi Vav, that there's a Chumr, the Ramad, in the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam, you're not Tolik Summon on Tlios. The Shach here points out, less than Gris is still okay, but we're not Tolik Summon on Tlios in the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam. So in the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam, she couldn't be Tola. But in the fourth through seventh day of Shiva Nikiyam, she could be Tola. And the Shach points out here that at least, according to the Ramah, she could be Tola on herself from a previous halachic status, even in the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam. But we'll come back to that in Kuf Tzadi Vav. Oh, yes?
What about, let's say, the other woman is in her Shiva Nikiyam?
You mean both women are in Shiva Nikiyam?
No, one
is Tahora, one is in Shiva Nikiyam?
Yeah.
Okay, that will be covered in the end of the next Sif. That will be covered in the end of the next Sif. So let's pretend we don't know it yet. Now, what's the reason that the Tahora, even if she's in Shiva Nikiyam, is Tola on the Nida or Tola on the Nachris? What's the reason? Right, okay, but what does that mean? Yeah, Tola is a Kilkul Makulka. What does that mean?
It affects her less.
What?
It affects her less.
Ah, so the simple shot is, well, this actually might be totally on this machlokes b'sholem. It might not. If you read the Beis Yosef, it might not. But he says, why are we Tola? Right? Why is one woman Tola on the other woman? Right? Meaning we know there's enough Tlia, right? But here there are two women. Tlia is a woman and a maka, or a what meaning? A woman menstruating and a maka, or a woman and a shuk shel tabachim, or a woman and a tzipor, or a woman and etc. etc. Why is one woman tola on another woman? So the simple shot is that because really safek darabon and you tola sakil kol b'makolko. Okay, but why are we tola sakil kol b'makolko? So one shot is, and what do we mean by makolko? Is makolkal meaning a scientific definition, or is makolkal a halachic definition? So one pshat is, it is a halachic definition. What's the point? Really, if there are two women, and they both see a kesem, then what should the halacha for each woman be independently? It should be, what? It should be safdar upon lakula, right? Ksamen, we're very makal. 50-50, ksamen, 50-50, if it's from you, not from you, of course we should be makal ksamen. We're makal even 90-10. Even 99-1, right? But we have a Tarti Desasri, right? We have a Tarti Desasri. Rachel wants to say it's Leah's Kesem, and Leah wants to say it's Rachel's Kesem, but Rachel can't say it's Leah's Kesem, Leah can't say it's Rachel's Kesem. That's not, that's impossible. So therefore, we're stuck, and we have to be Machmir. But if we have a tiebreaker, if, let's say, Rachel can say it's Leah's Kesem, and that's good for everyone, right? Then why can't Rachel be Mekel? Really suffer your own lakula? Really you are Tola in something else. As long as you avoid the problem of Tarti Desasri. And here, how do you avoid the problem of Tarti Desasri? If there's a Jewish woman and a Gaish woman, the Jewish woman trips to a Gaish woman, there's no Tarti Desasri. The Jewish woman's Mekel, that's the Gaish woman's Kesem, and the Gaish woman doesn't have a Shaila. Or if there's a Jewish woman and a Nida, the Jewish woman blames it on the Nida, says the Nida's Kesem, and the Nida has no Shaila. She's a Nida for 7 days anyway. Who cares if she has a Kesem? Right? Or like for us, that we don't keep nidah, the Chumash Rabbi Zeira, let's say she's the first 5 days of her period, right? Before she starts Shiva Nikiyam. So who cares if there's a kesem or not? It has an issue for her. So that is the, that is one way of looking at it. Yeah?
Alright, that wouldn't work with the Chulin and Truma, right? Or would it?
What Chulin and Truma?
I forget who said it. Someone says just like if Chulin falls and you say
the Chulin. No, that would be exactly the same. And then it's the exact same principle as Simon Kuf Yud Aleph. Kuf Yud Aleph is Sha'ani Omer. What is saying Kuf Yud Aleph? It says when we're dealing with Darabonans, meaning it's very clear, you read the beginning of Kuf Yud Aleph, says we're talking about Darabonans here. Okay, what case are Darabonans, what case are Darabonans? So you work it out and it works out, right? If you have Chulin and Truma, and in falls a little thing of truma, and you don't know where it went, and it's a shayla drabanan for whatever reason. Either it's truma sirakas drabanan, or it's a shear that's only drabanan.
And then is that
kinta
halacha? Like,
yeah.
That's the only
time. No, this is totally simon kuf yud aleph. There's a whole simon. Let me show you the whole simon kuf yud aleph. The whole simon kuf yud aleph. I'm going to summarize. If you have truma and it falls into one of two chulins and you don't know which, then you'd like to be makel safir ben lekuli. You'd like to be makel safir ben lekuli. There's a whole lungus I'm not getting into in the hint of the shachat taz there. Is this a regular rule of safir ben lekuli? Is this like a special rune of like assuming it works out the right way? The differences are very slight. Anyway, you'd like to be makel, but you can't. You'd like to be makel on this guy. That didn't fall on him. Fell on him. You'd like to be makel on this guy. Didn't fall on him. Fell on him. But you can't be makel on both of them. And therefore, they are both usher. Why are they both usher? Because you can't be makel. But in this case, we say the chulin is mutter, and we attribute that it fell into truma. Not that we have any way of, not that there's any logical reason for it. It's just suffering the chulin. There's a good answer. That's not a tart to the sasri. This is the rule called this. Tolin or Sha'ani Omer. Tolin, or we'll say it works out. And this applies in all kinds of crazy cases, right? You have milk that falls into either chicken soup or vegetable soup, you can assume it fell into the vegetable soup. If it fell into either this chicken soup or that chicken soup, you're in trouble, they're both treif. But if it fell into chicken soup or vegetable soup, you can assume it fell into the vegetable soup. Or if you have a kosher chicken soup and a treif chicken soup and milk fell in, you can assume it fell into the treif chicken soup. So that is, maybe that is basically, that's what the Shach and Taz say here. That is exactly the principle that's going on here. Really, we'd like to be making misafa. We'd like to say it worked out in the most makel way. However, if there's a tie, we have to be machmir both ways because it's tarti desasri. But if we can be makel without tarti desasri, then we're makel. That's called tolin or sha'ani omer. That's the pashat pshat according to the way we paskin. I'm not saying you couldn't have said otherwise. That is the pashat pshat. However, the Rambam, it doesn't make sense for the Rambam. According to the Rambam, shouldn't we always attribute it to the goy, whether she's in her period now or not in her period now? She's a goyish woman, right? It's easy. Just say the goyish woman had the kesem, and it makes no halachi problem. So for the Rambam, it's...
Why is that only good for the Rambam?
What? Because for us, we say she just needs to have once gotten her period and be 12. Okay, it needs to be possible. We can't be told on an impossible thing.
Okay.
But meaning she's got her period once, she's 12. She got her period 2 weeks ago. She's not expecting her period at all. We're told on the nachris. Why? Because that's an elegant solution. We're makel on the Jewish when we went to the nachris, and the nachris doesn't care. But for the Rambam, we're not told on a nachris unless she's in the middle of her period. For the Rambam. We're not told on a nachris unless she's in the middle of her period. So, what's pshat in the Rambam? Why are we only told on the nachris if she's in the middle of her period? It seems for the Rambam, there's a different principle. Right? So, one principle is tolin, meaning we are makel misafek, let's call this A, misafek, as long as we can avoid tarti desasri. We're makel misafek as long as we can avoid tarti desasri. And therefore, why we makel in nida? Makes perfect sense. If one's a nida, one's a tahora, we're makel for the tahora, and we attribute the kesem to the nida, and there's no tie to the sasri, because the nida couldn't care less. What about the goya? This makes perfect sense for the rashva, right? Since the goya couldn't care less, we're always told on the goya, and there's no tie to the sasri. There's Rachel, not Rachel and Leah, Rachel and Christina. So, we're makel for Rachel, say it's Christina's kesem, and Christina doesn't have a shayla, so there's no tarti desasri.
I'm sorry, either way, the Ram or the Rashba could just be pushing the needle of where they think it's likely impossible. Right? Again, if it's just about
one way, you're right, but the other way, not.
I mean, if it's just about forcing on someone who,
uh-huh.
Right, it shouldn't matter if they've seen once before, it could just be a guy no matter what age.
No, because it has to be something that's
right,
not...
And we're not saying it has to be...
It has to be something that's not miraculous.
So it could be that she's 12, she's ready to see, she's never seen yet, but for all we know, this could be there.
Okay,
no,
okay,
but
you...
The Rosh would say we don't pass in that way. It has to be something with a little more light.
No, but you could say... The problem is this. Let's say there's Rachel and Christina. They're both 2 weeks from their period.
Okay.
Can Rachel be told on Christina?
Now, according
they're
to
both the... mamish equal. They're both not in their period. Can Rachel be told on Christina? The Rambam says no. Why not? It's 50-50. Why can't she be told on Christina? It's like the Rambam side is machra. So I think there's another possibility. The other possibility is that no, we're not really making me suffix. This is not a case for making me suffix. We're making me suffix when you have a tliya of a non-menstrual blood. But a tliya of two women, we cannot be making on a 50-50 suffix. Then we are only making if one woman is scientifically more likely to bleed. After all, if scientifically there are two women and one of them is more likely to bleed, the other is less likely to bleed, then that's not a suffix. That's like a rove. After all, doesn't it make sense to be told on the more likely, less likely? And then nida makes perfect sense. After all, if one is Torah, one is a nida, you ask a goya scientist, who's more likely to have kesem, a tahora or a nida? He'll say, of course, the nida. She's in the middle of her period. Right? Oh, it's been a few days. Yeah, but the period takes a few days. Right? Any goya scientist will tell you, of course, the odds are the kesem. I mean, it's not a halachic kula. The odds are the kesem's from the nida. After all, why would the tahora bleed in the middle of her cycle? The nida, of course, she bleeds. She's in her period. What about the nachris? So then, this would make sense for the Rambam. Right? The Rambam would say, no, we're not told in a Nachristan. We can't be told at 50-50 just because it works out conveniently, like Derech A. No, you can only be told that if there's likelihood it's from the other one. At least I think that's shot in the Rambam. I don't have another great explanation for the Rambam. Whatever. You come up with slightly different explanations for the Rambam, but it's going to be more or less. It's going to have to be more or less this. That... that you're only tola on the nachris if she's a nida, because then scientifically, the odds are the kesem's from her, but you can't be tola nachristan. If you want the Beis Yosef to suggest, you could theoretically, oh, we'll come back to that. Okay, let's go to the next case. So then, and we paskin, like the Rashba here, okay, that seems to be significant, let's move on. Membeis, hishilato liktana shalarasa me'olam, that's not the relevant point. Ulevashto ktana zula achar shenivala, okay, we know this is not our contemporary halacha lemaisa, we'll see soon. But we know in the time of the Mishnah, at least, not clear in the time of the Gemara, but at least in the time of the Mishnah, the halacha was that they are mitahir dam besulim. Not like modern day, anyone who's married knows modern day, that's not what we do. But dam besulim, right, that when the kiyiva bachar besula, there's a wound, he breaks the besulim and it bleeds, that's actually a maka, that's not menstruation. That's not from the makor, right? That's not from the uterus. That's a maka from breaking the skin of the basulin. So, in the old days, they are matahir. Oh, how do they know what's dam basulin and what isn't? How do they know when the basulin is a maka that's mitzia dam and when it's not? So they had rules based on different age groups as to exactly what it is. The truth is, Rabbi Kiva, the Pesachei Tshuva, according to the Dogma Revava here, and it's in the Dogma Revava on the side, points out that maybe some of these rules are not 100% accurate. It doesn't matter. It's not our topic now, the rule of Dam Basulim. What's the principle? The principle is he's giving different examples of Dam Basulim. One example was a katana, Shalom Rasa Miolam. If a girl got married as a katana, then how long do we assume the blood is Dam Basulim? Until Chaisa Hamaka, until it's totally healed. Okay, oh, shishilata lanar shlobrasa lavashotoch arbalelo slavilasa. Or, what if she's a nar and she got married? Then we assume for 4 nights. Meaning 4 nights of v'ila. It's dam basulim. So basically, when she's the cheskas dam basulim, right? Forget about the fact that the original context of cheskas dam basulim was to be matire her. But that's not relevant. The point is that it's the cheskas dam basulim. So, here we have a case of dam basulim. So the point is, if a regular tahora woman lends it to a girl who just got married who has dam basulim, right, and finds a kesem, then she says, it's not for me, it's from your dam basulim. Okay, this makes perfect sense. According to the derech, that it's a matter of what's more likely, obviously we know what's more likely. One girl is a tahora, one woman is a tahora woman who does not have a bleeding wound, but oso makom. The other is a tahora woman who does have a bleeding wound, but oso makom. So obviously, who's more likely to bleed? Obviously, the one who has a bleeding wound in that part of her body, because that just makes it more scientifically likely. What about the first derech, which is the derech of the mainstream nosei kelim here? Like, for example, let me just read to you from the Shach Nun Gimel, why are we tola? Fisha kol elu ein mekalkeling shetisla kesem behem. Because it doesn't hurt them if you're told the kesem in them. And therefore, we can be makeling, says, just like Simen Kofir Aleph. He doesn't quote Simen Kofir Aleph. Oh, he does. He starts quoting the Mishnah. That's Simen Kofir Aleph. Then he quotes Simen Kofir Aleph. And the Taz says the same thing here in Sifkat and Lamed Aleph. Because Ein Ben Kilkel, Velot HaKachal Ish HaTorah, like Simen Kofir Aleph. The Taz in Lamed Aleph and the Shach in Lamed Gimel say, just like Simen Kofir Aleph. Let's just put them here. Just like Simen Kofir Aleph. And that's the Taz and the Shach. The Taz is in Lamed Aleph, and the Shach is in Nun Gimel. They both footnote Kofir Aleph, which maybe we learned once when we learned Isser Heter. Okay, so what is this? How does this work? So explains the Shach. In the old days, this was perfectly Nicha. Why was this Nicha in the old days? Because they wouldn't be Tameos if they found blood. Because that was a valid Tliya B'maka. In the old days, Dam Basulim was considered a valid Tliya B'maka. So then it makes sense. Then it's just like this case. One way would answer her, and one way wouldn't answer her. Rachel is a regular woman, and Leah has a Tliya B'maka. So what do we say? We're making for Rachel and assume it's Leah's. And it's no problem to assume it's Leah's, because Leah's the Hora, and it doesn't bother her. Right? So that's just like Kofiyat Aleph. If it falls in one or two places, and it bothers one place, doesn't bother the other place. We assume it fell where it doesn't bother anyone. Safek l'kula, as long as we don't have tarti disasri. That's the old days. That's the Shach Nun Gimel. But then, the Shach in Nun Dalid, I know, skipping a line, but in a sentence later, he's going to say, even Bizman Hazeh, which also goes in Dam Basulim. What about Bizman Hazeh? What's the problem? The problem is, Bizman Hazeh, we're metame Dam Basulim. Bizman Hazeh, the two are equal. It's chulin and chulin. It's milk and chicken soup and chicken soup. It's not chicken soup and vegetable soup. Bizman hazeh, we're metamei dam basulin. So if Rachel, we attribute the kesem to Rachel, she's tmeya. If we attribute the kesem to Leah, who has basulin, bleeding, basulin, she's also tmeya. So now they're both even, so why should we attribute to one more than the other? So here says the Shach, you know what? He also admits that other svara. Everyone admits the svara of Rove. Right? So he says, this is because what's called Sirfa Matsoi. Sirfa. Okay, there are other. That's the mainstream Girsa. Sirfa is Miloshim Sraf. What's the word for the, like where you get maple syrup from? The sap of the tree? Yeah, when you cut the tree, the sap flows out? That's Sraf, is sap. Her sap is more common, meaning she's more likely to bleed. Right? So what does he say? Sirfa Matsoi, meaning that, you know, Psi A also agrees to Svara B, right? Meaning, in this case, Bizman Hazeh, Dam Basulim is not like Simen Kofir Aleph anymore. This case of Dam Basulim, Bizman Hazeh, in the old days was like Kofir Aleph. Just a tribute to the way that will not cause any halakhic problems and will not have a Tarti Disasri. But nowadays, it is a Tarti Disasri. If we're making for Rachel, then Leah's in trouble. For Mekel, for Leah, Rachel's in trouble. They're even. Nowadays, no tiebreaker. So they say, but even though we think most of these Se'ifim are like Simen Kofir Aleph, are about attributing Mekolkel to the Mekelkel to Mekolkel, meaning attributing something problematic to where it won't hurt anyone, this case is based on science. Scientifically, a girl with a bleeding wound is much more likely to make a kesem than a woman without a bleeding wound. And therefore, everyone agrees that Bizman Hazeh, at least the Dam Basulim, is not for the reason of Simen Kofir Aleph. That, we could just attribute it one way and then everyone will be happy. And then we can make Safir Ben Lekula. No, this is because of the Rove or at least monthly, which is similar to Rove, of that it's more likely to have come from the Basulim girl than from the regular woman. Okay, continuing.
Wait,
where is it? Serfa? What? Serfa Matzo. It actually says in the Gemara, but I could have sworn it said it's a good thing I didn't swear, maybe. In the, so the Taz says Dome Mitsuyin Ba. And the Shach and the Taz says Dome Mitsuyin Ba. But in the Gemara, they have a Lashon of Serfa Matzo. Sorry. No, both the Taz and the Taz within Lamed Beis and the Shach in the transition from Nun Gimel to Nun Dalet, both say in the old days this was regular Simon Kof Yud Aleph. That, you know, be Makel for one who needs the Kula, and the other one, it doesn't hurt. But nowadays it's because Dami Mitzuyin Ba. They both say nowadays it's just because it's more likely. Am I wrong, Chesky? I really don't think so. At the end of Nun Dalet, that's from a Dam Toar. That's not talking about Dam Basulim. Yeah, don't mix up the Dam Toar part and the Dam Basulim part. Now, the next line is Yoshevas al Dam Toar, right? Oshi Shalat will Yoshevas al Dam Toar, Tolamahem Afilu Bizman Hazeh. Right, so the other case that's very clear is you can be Tola on Yoshevas al Dam Toar. What is a Yoshevas al Dam Toar? So, from Chosin classes, you don't necessarily know Yoshevas al Dam Toar, because Bizman Hazeh, the Minhag, is not to use the rules of Dam Toar. But if you open up a Chumash, the Chumash says if a woman has a baby boy, then from days 8 to 40 after childbirth, even if she bleeds, she's tahora. It's a gzeres hakasav. Okay, the Gemara's machlok is Rav and Levi, whether that's a physiological observation or gzeres hakasav. We pass it as a gzeres hakasav. Her damnida is tahor from days 8 to 40. And if she had a girl, it's a gzeres hakasav. Her damnida is tahor from days 15 to 80. Hope I got that. So that's called Dam Toar. So Dam Toar, that's a classic case. If you're one woman is a regular woman, and the other is your Shevus al Dam Toar. So that's Chulin and Truma. One woman, it would make her usher to her husband if it was her kesem. The other one, your Shevus al Dam Toar, she has no problem with the kesem. It's Xeris Kesem, it's all okay anyway. So therefore, we're makel for Rachel, the regular woman, and blame the kesem on Leah, the Dam Toar woman. And Leah couldn't care less because she's a Dam Toar, and her kesem is okay anyway. Right? So this is makes. Perfect sense. This makes perfect sense. For the Rambam, here I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit, just based on my experience of biology. It doesn't say this in the Gemara, but it could be that the Rambam thinks, if anyone ever, okay, anyone's wife ever had a baby, you know how this works. After childbirth, for those days, there's a lot of bleeding, scientifically. It's not just Xeris Akasav. It's Xeris Akasav, which corresponds. I'm not giving Tami Mitzvos. I don't know why the Torah said one way versus the other way. And that's not my business now. I'm just saying that this period of Dam Toar of the Torah corresponds to a period where the woman bleeds a lot because of the childbirth. There's a lot of blood left over from the childbirth. I mean, that's not scientifically accurate. But whatever reason, there's a lot of blood caused by the childbirth in the months ahead. Now, is there a difference between having a boy and having a girl scientifically? No. But nonetheless, the basic idea that there's a time period when we expect a woman to bleed a lot, right? If a woman says, you know, a woman says, I had a baby, you know, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, and I was really trying to get my shiv nikiyim, and I was clean for 6 days, and all of a sudden I started bleeding. Then what would be the explanation? The halacha would be, she unfortunately has Nisoyon, but she has bad luck, as it were. But the explanation is, yeah, that's what happens after you have a baby. There's sort of random bleeding here and there, and there's no predicting it. That's the nature of how human beings work. So I think for the Rambam, he could say, even though, you know, he's sort of adding something that's not about the concept of Dam Toar, but he could say, you know, for this there, which I think is Rambam's there, that you could say that, it's because Dam is Motzli then. I know it's a little tricky because Dam is not more Motzli for girls than for boys, but still, the basic idea is definitely true that, you know, maybe we just make a low plug in a certain time period based on Dam Tovar, that after giving birth, a woman has all these extra Dam from giving birth.
Isn't even the girl based on, some of the partial understand that the girl is also based on the fact that there'll be more blood? The girl
Yeah, it's somewhat far to understand that way, just modern science does not.
Right.
Right. So, okay, well, I'm not going to, the question of somewhat far versus modern science is not something that we're going to tackle and shear on a day when we have to make it home flight canvas. And if anyone didn't have mincha yet, don't worry, we'll finish in plenty of time for mincha. At 4 o'clock. I checked in case anyone missed mincha. Pretty sure. Now you're making me nervous. Machon Leiv Mincha at 4 o'clock, according to their website. So don't worry, we'll end in time. No one should be nervous about how they're going to have mincha if they were late. What?
And Sfardim is starting at 4:25 as well.
Oh, Gavaldik. And Sfardim at 4:25, so you don't even have to be a trick yourself. Look at that. Just goes to prove once again, right, that knowing the right people is better than looking things up on the internet. it gives kizik to us old people. Okay, now the problem is, what about Bizman Hazeh? Because Bizman Hazeh ain't Bolim El Dam Tohar. Now, this is actually a big question. Is Bizman Hazeh, there's a din that we're not Bolim El Dam Tohar? Because Rabbi Zeira said that? Or is it a minhag that we're not Bolim El Dam Tohar? And the Beis Yosef suggests that might be totally on this, but what about Bizman Hazeh? So this is a big machlokas Rishonim. The Ramban says, what about Bizman Hazeh? Says the Ramban, ain't tolling. Nope, you're not tolling your shevels al dam tor bizman hazeh, because nowadays it's chicken soup and chicken soup. Because we're metame dam tor bizman hazeh. Beis Yosef points out that it actually works out well, that he seems to think it's a din, and then it makes a lot of sense, although it's not ma'akeh. However, all the other Rishonim say, the Ravid and the Rashba and the Rambam say, Tolin even Bizman Hazeh. Okay, so according to my shot in the Rambam, it makes perfect sense why we told even Bizman Hazeh. Even Bizman Hazeh, it's more likely. It has nothing to do with halachic status, it has to do with scientific status. So then we would say, and Tolin even Bizman Hazeh, if it's really about scientific likelihood, then even Bizman Hazeh, it's more likely that a woman who had a baby a month ago will bleed than a woman who didn't have a baby a month ago. That hasn't changed with Bizman Hazeh. However, if it's about halachic status, then we understand the Ramban, Nicha Ramban, that Bizman Hazeh ain't tolin, because nowadays they have the same halachic status. You know, it's not a matter of scientific status at all. Nowadays, a regular woman and a Dam Torah woman have the same halachic status. But why does the Mechaber Paskin? How does the Mechaber Paskin? We just read, even Bizman Hazeh. What's the Svara for the Rashba? But we're also Micha the Rashba because he is an interesting Svara. He says, even though we're Metamek Dam Torah Bizman Hazeh, it's not a din, it's only a minhag. Now we get this funny bird. It fell into two pots. One is like vegetable soup, and the other is also really, one is vegetable chicken soup, the other is vegetable soup, and then there's a minhag to treat it like chicken soup. So do you follow the minhag or do you follow the din? So what he says is that, they made a minhag that were machmer dam tohar. But that minhag doesn't affect tlios. Because they only made the minhag to like have a chumrah on that lady herself. The minhag was not intended to change the rules of tlios. You could still be tola based on the din. So what does it say? Nikol Rashva, that tolen bizman hazeh, he alpidin eino mekalkel hayosheves al dam tor. Alpidin, Rachel could blame Leah, because Rachel could be makel, it's not hers, and blame Leah, the yosheves al dam tor. And alpidin, it doesn't hurt Leah. Alpiminag, it does hurt Leah. But you can say, since that's a later minhag, they only made the minhag to be machmir in that situation. They didn't make the minhag to affect cases of tlios. Because you know, minhagim don't have to be consistent. Dinim have to be consistent. The din and all the nafgaminas of the din. A minhag doesn't have to be consistent. Yeah, there's a minhag that were mitame the dam tohar. But the minhag does not extend to affecting shilas of tlios. Because minhagim don't have to be consistently applied.
Before we said that we came to the Mitzvah in the case, they agreed to the start of the Rambam, that scientifically also make a difference. So is this a riot that they argue on the Tzius?
It's a good question. The answer, because I'm not speculating, this is what they write. Right? So it's a good question. The answer is I'm not sure.
Or it's a, just give this reason.
I Pashas are right, they argue on my Metzias. Yeah, that's the Pashas. You know, it's not necessarily an argument with Metzias, it's an argument where to draw the line. That's the Pashas, although, you know, you'd have to think about it a little more. Okay, let's go weiter. V'chein m'shilato l'sofer shiva shalo tavla tola ba. Ubal s'cholok tahora v'chaver t'shalo mikul keles. Okay, sorry, we can't expand. Five, how about, what's the next case we just said? A, sofer shiva shalo tavla. Then we're just going to Shomer Yom Kineged Yom. The reason why the Mechaber doesn't mention Shomer Yom Kineged Yom is because we don't have that anymore nowadays, right? Zava Ketana only counts one clean day. So someone in Shivan Akiyam, right? This is the question. Who asked this? Someone asked this question before. Okana maybe? What about A, Soferis Shivan Akiyam? Are you Tola on a Sofer? Means one is Tahora and the other is in Shivan Akiyam. Not one is Tahora, the other one is Nido. One is Tahora and the other one is already in Shivan Akiyam. So is she Tola or not? So, here, this is a machlokes, Tanoim. Rebbe says, Rebbe and Reshbag. Rebbe says, Ein Tolin. Nope, you're not told on a Sofer Shivinikiyah. And who possibly like Rebbe? The Rambam. Reshbag says, Tolin. And who possibly like Reshbag? The other Rishon, all the other Rishonim. Paskin like Rashbag. And how do we Paskin? The Machaber just says, we're Tola on a Sofer Shivanikiyam. Okay, is this work well for the Ram Lashitase? I think this actually works decently for the Ram Lashitase. Why is he not, it's not Mukher, why is he not Tola on Sofer Shivanikiyam? You could say it has nothing to do with this, Takir. But you could say, look, the Sofer Shivanikiyam is already in Shivanikiyam. She's not more likely to see than anyone else. And you could have gone both ways in that. That depends, right? Ramban, Allah Torah says the point of Shivan Akiyam, and remember we saw this machlokas already in Kuf Pei Zayin. Maybe the point of Shivan Akiyam is she needs 7 days to prove she stopped seeing. So it's not 100% clear. Really, both shittas could be nicha both ways. If we go back to this, you know, you could say, really, if we're in five, Rashbag is definitely nicha. Why? Because a Tahora, you're totally Mekalkel if you blame the Kesem on her. But a Shivan Akiyam, you're only partially Mekalkel. You make a restart of Shivan Akiyam. Right? So, what would Reshbag Sfara? What? Aha! So that's the Machlokas Rebbe and Reshbag. Machlokas Rebbe and Reshbag is where do you draw the line? Right? What if you have, right? So basically, if you want to know what's the Machlokas Rebbe and Reshbag, you could very well say that Rebbe says that you can't be Tola because you are partially Mekalkel her. And Reshbag says you can be Tola because it's better to partially Mekalkel than to fully Mekalkel. After all, one woman is Tahora. You're totally Mekalkeler if you blame the Kesem on her. The other woman is in Shivan Akiyam. You're partially Mekalkeler. You don't make her Tamea. She's already Tamea. You just add another couple days. So one woman you're making Tamea Legamre from Tara. The other you're adding a couple days. So now we see the Machlokas Rebbe and there's Rashbag. Rebbe says, no, you can't pick one woman unless it's clean, then it hurts one woman, doesn't hurt the other. Vegetable soup and chicken soup. Reshbag says, no, as long as you have a tiebreaker, we want to be Makel. Now, we can't be Makel to pick to one of two women who are equal, because there's no way to break the tie. But here, what's more Makel? To say you or Tahora become a Nida? Or you or in Shivan Akiyam have to go back 2 days? Obviously, it's more Makel to make you go back 2 days and not to make her a Tamei Legamre, and therefore we can pass like Reshbag. I mean, Misvar, I think you could have seen that either way. For the Rambam, I think the Rambam works well with Shitase. Rebbe is definitely Nicha. Because she's not seeing now. But it's not a pure Rambam Lashitase. Rashbag could also make sense because we suspect she is not done bleeding until we have Shiva Nikiyam. That has to do with the Hakira of, is that she has to finish bleeding and then have Shiva Nikiyam, or did the Shiva Nikiyam prove she finished bleeding? Right? Did the Shiva Nikiyam just Xeris Akasa to tie her the seven spheros? Or no, the Shiva Nikiyam already proved she finished bleeding. Okay, so you could say that Rebbe thinks she's done bleeding. She needs Xeris Akasa to Shiva Nikiyam, but we don't think she'll bleed scientifically. Shabbat says, no, scientifically we think she'll bleed. Again, how that works with the Kormadari Zera, you know, but at least if someone's a real Zafa, we think she'll bleed until she has 7 days to prove that she stopped this peculiar bleeding. Okay, it could also be that Rebbe and Schwager are two sides of this Takira. But we won't put that on the board. Okay, last case. Hishilato Lubalas Hakesim, Sif Mem Gimel. I know we have to get back some details, but let me just, should we do the details now? Okay, let's mention some details. Details of Shiva Nikiyam. Here, Achesky, you know, could you give me some space? Right. I might not need it, but let's over here. Let's do some details of number five. What if you have a Tahora and a Soferes Be'emtza Shiva Nikiyam? Then it's clear that she is Tola, because we say, even though you can calculate the one in the middle Shiva Nikiyam, that better to have a partial kilkel than a full kilkel, so it's not a tarti de sasri, will be makel to only give a partial kilkel, not a full kilkel. But what if you have a Tahora and a Safra Shiva Nikiyam Velo Tavla? Someone who already finished a Shiva Nikiyam just didn't go to the mikveh yet. Now, here it's a little tricky. On the one hand, you can say, well, she's still Tamea. You're not being mekalkel her so much. You're just keeping her Tamea. The other thing, you're really being mekalkel her a lot because she can go to the mikveh whenever she wants. She's practically as good as Tahora. Right? So on the one hand, like, you're being mekalkel her a little less because you're just keeping her Tamea. You're not making her Tamea. On the other hand, it was biyada to go to the mikveh. You're really ruining that she could have gone to the mikveh every second. So maybe they're equal and she can't be Tola. So, you know, you could say this is just a practical question where to draw the line. There's like a tiny bit more kilkel if you're, it's a tiny bit worse to be metame tover lady than a lady who finished Shiva Nikiyam, because you're making her a new Tumah status. On the other hand, it's only a tiny difference. Practically, they're the same. One is Tahor, one go to the mikvah when she wants. You could also look at this from a Lundish perspective if you want. You know, is it that, you know, she still really has the like tumah of Shiva Nikiyam. She still hasn't finished Shiva Nikiyam until she goes to the mikvah. Okay, this is going to be a little more complicated. The Lamaisa, this is a tremendous machlokas achronim here, right? If you look in Rabbi Akiva Eger, he quotes machlokas achronim, and the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the exact same machlokas achronim. Says the levush that you're tola. Says the levush. She's Tola, because after all, she's Tahora and she's Tamea. So the Tahora can be the Tola and the Tamea. However, says the Teferis Lamoshe and the Mishnah Lamelech, Teferis and the Mishnah Lamelech, ain't a Tola. No. Here they're both equal. I don't care that one is technically Tola, one is technically Tamea. Practically, they're both equal. They can both sleep with their husbands whenever they want. Okay, one has to go dip in a pool first, and the other one doesn't. What's the big deal? But they're both as good as Tahora, and therefore they're considered equal once they're equal. So Rachel wants to blame it on Leah. Leah wants to blame it on Rachel. And they're equal, so it's a tarchi de sasri, and they both have to be Tamea. Pashtus, it's not clear how the Mechaber sounds like. Mechaber says, the Sofera Shiva Shalot Tavla. No one in Sofera sounds like she's still in the middle of being Soferis. On the other hand, Lo Tavla sounds like maybe she finished, just didn't go to the mikvah. So it's not so clear. Rabbi Akiva Eger thinks it sounds more like a Mishnah Melech in Tiferes Lamoshe, but it's far from clear. Okay, Lamaisa, this doesn't come up. This doesn't come up a lot, because, like, you know, already finished counting Shiva Nikiyam, but didn't go to the mikveh yet, is a pretty rare case. Like, how long does one stay in that situation? And how likely is it to, like, share a bathing suit with another woman at exactly that time period? Between Shiva Nikiyam and going to the mikvah, it doesn't come up a lot, so we don't have to. We're not going to have to pass this lamaisa. But one thing that might come up is the Pesachei Tshuva points out. This is not a Rabbi Akiva Eger. Says the Pesachei Tshuva, he says, what about the following case? What about a, let's stick in one more case here, a Tehora and a Pnuya Bizman Hazer. What is a Pnuya Bizman Hazer? Pnuya Bizman Hazer never go to the mikvahs. They never go to mikvah. Not a Pnuya need the Bizman Hazer. Obviously, we're told on her she's in the middle of her period. A Pnuya Bizman Hazer was not, it was very far from her period. Her period was 3 weeks ago. Right? So what if you have a Pnuya Bizman Hazer whose period was 3 weeks ago, and a Tahora whose period was 3 weeks ago? A married woman and a Pnuya. So can the married woman blame it on the Pnuya? So, well, the Pnuya didn't go to mikvah, but then you get into the Machlokas, Mishlo Melech, and Tavaris Lavosh versus Lavosh. Bobby points out, what else did the Pnuya not do? Bizman Hazer? Yep. What? She doesn't do a Hefzitar and count Shivan Akiyah, right? So the Pnuya is... It still hasn't counted Shimon Akiyam yet. Since the Pnuya still hasn't counted Shimon Akiyam, therefore, you can for sure be told on the Pnuya, because not because the Pnuya is not married, you know, because she theoretically could be married whenever she wants, it's because the Pnuya hasn't done any of Shimon Akiyam yet. So if we blame the Kesem on her, it doesn't hurt her at all. Either way, she has to start at Shimon Akiyam from scratch. So since the Pnuya is not even in the middle of Shimon Akiyam, she hasn't even started Shimon Akiyam, for sure we can be told of Kuli Alma. So if you have a Nesua Tahora and a Pnuya, she can be told of the Pnuya. I don't mean a Pnuya who's getting married tomorrow is in the middle of Shimon Akiyam. I mean a regular Pnuya is not as that. Or a non-firm woman is not as that, right? Can you be told on a non-firm woman? Yes. Why? Not because she'd be going to mikvah. That's Macholik Zachronim. Because she didn't count Shimon Akiyam yet. She got her period and she didn't count Shimon Akiyam, so of course you can be told on her.
I mean, couldn't you have maybe didn't formally count Shimon Akiyam, but she knows that she hasn't seen blood?
Ah, so that's a great question. The standard, the accepted halacha is, okay, Rav Moshe has a big chiddush when it comes to Nida, we'll see, but at least when it comes to Shimon Akiyam, the accepted, if you want to make big chiddushim, maybe you theoretically, conceptually, it would be philosophically possible. But if you want to know the mainstream understanding of both halacha and lamdus, is that even if she knows that she hasn't seen blood in a while, it doesn't count the Shimon Akiyam unless she does a formal bedika for counting. So clearly she hasn't done a formal bedika for counting. Right, meaning if a woman came to me and said, I forgot to start my Shimon Akiyam, but I know I haven't seen blood for 2 weeks, I would say, sorry, you have to start your Shimon Akiyam fresh. That doesn't count for anything. And Pasha's even be deraisa, if she was a zara.
But in the Pesachei Tshuva, I just wanted to clarify, it's not like that since we're not going to let her go to the mikvah, even if she does count, it's not.
No, I don't think that's it. Because if she decides to get married tomorrow and go to mikvah. Okay, you have to deal with the issue of Dam Chima.
Then we would have let her go to the mikvah. I mean, if it's Stalin Pnuya, if Pnuya wants to get her, she does have Sikkar.
Yeah, but I don't think so, because Lamaisa, it's still considered. After all, you know, not to say anything about Zana Zer, but she could go to the mikvah and sleep with people if she wanted to. You know, we can't really stop her. We could not give her a shkoyach, but we can't actually stop her. Okay, Mem Gimel, last case of all these, this kind of plios cases in the Gemara. Hish ilato lebalas hakesem. Danger, Yeshiv, if she lent it to a woman who is tameya mishum kesem. Right? So, this is, right, balas kesem, meaning tmeya mishum shematza kesem. Right, she didn't get her period, she just found the kesem. So the Gemara is very, very clear that, well, I mean, the Gemara has a discussion, but the maskana seems pretty clear, ein tolim. If one woman was tahora and the other one was tmeya mishum kesem, ein tolim. Right, hishilata lebalas kesem, ben shayosheves kfar la kesem kodim she'ela. Whether it was that she was tmeya because of a kesem before she borrowed your clothing and wore it, ben shirosa kesem cholik acher la acher shashallah etzeh, or whether she found the kesem in her other shirt after she borrowed this. Okay, without the details, Rabbi Akiva Igor has a long discussion we're not going to get into. Ein tolo zo bezo lo zo bezo ushdeim trichos. Right? If there's a Tahor and a Balas Kesem, we can't say let the Tahor blame the Balas Kesem was Tmei anyway. No. They both have to take responsibility. They're both Tmeias for the Kesem. So the Tahor becomes Tmeia, and the Balas Kesem stays Tmeia. Avikoshkin, she lent it to Tahora because Vasar Stam Trichos Lachos. And for sure, if she lent it to a Tahora. So, these cases are obvious. This is obvious, is the Maskana Kavim Paskin. Obviously, you're not tolling Tahora because you're exactly equal, right? That makes perfect sense, right? That is Nicha. According to every pshat, right? If you say it's like Kofi and Aleph, where you'd like to be Mako, but you need a tiebreaker to make it not Tarti Desasri. Here it's a tie. You're Rachel's Torah, Leah's Torah. They both like to blame the other one, but then it's a Tarti Desasri, so they have to be Machir. And if you say like the Rambam, you know, of course it makes sense, because there's no more likely that Leah would bleed than Rachel would bleed. They're both Torah. Balas Kesim, however, this works very well for the Rambam. Why? Because the Balas Kesim is Tmei Kishivan the Kesim, but we don't really know it came from her. If Tumas Kesem is only Xerah Darabana, really it was a stain that might not have come from her. So therefore, she's not really more likely to bleed. If Rachel's Tahora and Leah's Tmei for Kesem, Leah's not scientifically more likely to bleed, because maybe the Kesem was just dirt from something else. So you say, well, maybe the Kesem was really something, and maybe it's her, and that's all kinds of someone say, because that's not, that doesn't count as likelihood. Okay, for the Rambam, it makes sense. Since Kesem is only a Chumra Drabanan, and really we don't know it's Migufa, some of the Achronim say, if you know the Kesem is Migufa, it's different. But let's say a real old-fashioned Kesem. She found a red spot on her skirt that was the size of a nickel. She found a red spot the size of a nickel on her skirt. So she said she's Tmeya. But we don't really scientifically have evidence to know that she's bleeding. And therefore, they're both equal scientifically. For this pshat, this is Sarah Iyon, meaning if it's just Simi Kufyat Aleph, like Tons Akilkel B'Mukulkel, not meaning like Derech B. We attribute the blood to someone who's scientifically more likely to have blood. No, we attribute it to someone who it won't hurt so much, and then we can be making Lakula, give it to the one it won't hurt, and don't give it to the one it will hurt. Then over here, the Balas Kesem, it's not going to hurt her. She's a Balas Kesem. Maybe she's still in the Neida in the old days, maybe she's still in the 5 days before the seven Nikiyim nowadays. It's not going to hurt her at all. So Rachel, it's going to ruin her life. Okay. It's going to ruin her 2 weeks to say the Kesem is hers. And Leah, it's not going to hurt at all. She couldn't care less. So why can't we be Mako for Rachel and attribute it to Leah? It's a big, big finish it's a big finish that we're not told of Balas Kesem. They all give explanations. Because the Balas Kesem doesn't know she bled from her guf. But like, if it's Simon Kofi Aleph, like just we're tolling, if we have a convenient way to be told, we're told that. Like, why not be told in the Balas Kesem? So this is the Tzarek Iyon. It's tricky, Alpilundus. You have to do one of two things. Either you have to say that all the formulations that are shown them and all the Pshach and Tazes here are wrong. Really, everyone agrees to Derech B. And everyone agrees to Derech B. The reason we're tolling Shimon Akiyam is because she's still likely to be bleeding until she's gone 7 clean days. The reason we're Tola on a Yoshem Zoldam Toar is because she bleeds a lot. The reason we're Tola on a Nochris, who's above 12, is because the Goyim were not so careful about washing away their Nida blood, and therefore, even if she doesn't have a period now, she could still have stains left from her last period, because Goyim were dirty in the old days. You know, so you could just change the whole thing and put everyone on side B if you want. However, that's not what the Shach and the Taz do. So, either put everyone on side B, which is against a lot of the explanations that we showed in Achronim, although you could do it. You could even explain the Nachris who's not in their period by saying in the old days, the Goyim were dirty and they kept their bodies bloody all month long because they didn't have mikvanite. And therefore, she really, not more likely to bleed, but more likely to have blood left over because they would be dirty all month long. Okay, I have no idea how dirty the Goyim were in those days. From what I've heard, in some countries they were. Or you just have to say, so either you just have to abandon this side of the Chakira, which is against the Shach and the Taz, or you just have to say, no, it's a special rule they made. Since this is a din of Klias Ksamim, they made a special rule, like you can't double Kesem. You can't be told a Kesem on a Kesem, even though really you should be able to. They made a special rule that you can't take Ksamim into account for Ksamim. Okay, why they made that special rule is still a bit of a tzarech Iyon. So basically, either it disproves side A, or it's a special rule. Why did they make a special rule? I guess because since we're doing Tlias Ksumim, when we're doing Tlias Ksumim, we have to assume that Ksumim are not really. And therefore, you can't be Machron her Kesem and make it on my Kesem. Okay, so there's a special rule that you can't be make on a kesem based on being macher on a kesem, because that seems inappropriate. Okay, could be. These are the basic rules of tolunus amakulkel b'mikulkel. Now, let's move on a little. No more questions. And again, did this come up a lot nowadays? It could theoretically come up once in a blue moon. But not a lot, just because most stains are in underwear. And I'm pretty sure women don't share underwear. At least not without washing it first. And we'll get to washing. Mem dalet. Lav shechot meini dosov lo bedaktum v'vashto meini tarosov nintzu v'kesem tol esher meini dusahi. The principle here is the same rules that apply to Rachel. Are you still recording?
We're still good.
Okay. I'll teach you about airplane mode. It's this really cool thing.
I'm sorry.
No, not at all. It's just an educational opportunity. Just Google airplane mode. So the same as Rachel is Tola on Leah, Rachel be Tola on Rachel, meaning if Rachel wore this when she was a Nida and then put it away in a safe drawer and then went to the mikvah, and then wore it when she was Tahora and found a stain, she could say, well, it's either the Nida Rachel or the Tahora Rachel. So that's like two women. And she blames it on the Nida Rachel and she's okay. That's Mem Dalet. And it's just common sense. Mem Hei. Love Shechola Kodum Shaisu Muberes. Yes?
It's not so obvious, right?
Because
that's what
the Shasa Kulshmei. If she could be told on someone else, she could certainly be told on herself. Right, what the Shach said is that in the first 3 days of Shimon HaKiyam, according to the Ramah, not the Shach, she's not told on outside Tlios, but she is told on Tlios in her body. In which case, she couldn't be told on Rachel, but she could still be told on herself last time. Memhei, Lov Shachala Kodon Shaisu Muberes Ve'achar Shenis Avra Lavashto V'lo B'dika U'matzol Av Kesem Tola B'lvishas Hayam Shalo Haisu Muberes V'chein Menika Tola Ba'atzma Kamo Shatola B'chaver Tuchin Zekena Okay, here he's making an assumption, which really comes from Nun Beis. Right? Sif Nun Beis says there's another kind of Tlia. And this kind of tliya is clearly based on science and not based on simon kofir aleph. What's the other kind of tliya? If one woman is misulekes damim and one woman is normal, then the odds are obviously much stronger that the blood is from the normal woman than misulekes damim, because that's the whole point of misulekes damim, right? So if one is normal, one is misulekes damim, she can be tola, the misulekes damim can be tola on the normal. So this is all normal woman being tola on. But a Mesulekes Damim can be told on a normal woman. And not only can a Mesulekes Damim, Rachel, let's say Rachel and Leah. Rachel is pregnant, nursing, old, or young. And Leah's normal, so she blames on Leah. That's purely scientific. You are the parsha bleeding, and I'm a Mesulekes Damim. Not only can Rachel be told on Leah Mesulekes Damim, she can also be told on Rachel Mesulekes Damim. If she wore it once before she was pregnant, once after she was pregnant, once before she was nursing, once after she was nursing, then she can blame it on herself before she was nursing. Before she was pregnant. So let's say Rachel wore this before she was pregnant. And then wore it again when she was pregnant and found the kesem. She could blame it on before she was pregnant. Now here, keep in mind, you need to use common sense. If she wore it when she wasn't pregnant, and then didn't go to the mikvah, and then wore it when she was pregnant and found the kesem, she's tamei either way. Whether it came when she was pregnant or not, she's tamei. This is the case where she wore it when she wasn't pregnant, then went to the mikvah, and then wore it when she was pregnant. So, then she could blame it on when she wasn't pregnant, then she already went to the mikvah from that, and it's no problem.
Here there seems to be this conflict between the Tumahaf and Mary, because aren't you going to mess up a woman who's otherwise totally tahar?
No, that's my point, that this only
works... Where the two of you is one pregnant...
Ah, yes, but this is based on science, so it's not based on Kofir Aleph.
Okay, but...
Scientifically, you mess up the tahar woman, yeah.
So that clearly trumps.
Yeah, that, remember we said that side A also admits the side B. So that's far of B. Everyone admits the far of science.
Have you seen it been in conflict? Was it in conflict there?
No, in conflict would be like this interesting question. What if you had a, Misulekes Damim who was, a Dam Tohar or something? Then, okay, I don't know what we would do then. But here, you have two equal women, one in Zuleika's Damin, so they're both equal. So Minkofi Nal doesn't apply, but science applies. We obviously blame it on the non Zuleika's Damin. Doesn't really bother me. Okay, where were we? We just read Ben Dalin. Right, Ben Hay. Yeah. Tzatziki, when you get a chance, please.
If she wore, what, like, I mean, we know from other cities that if she was, like, someone wearing a clothes that weren't checked, and then she found a kesen that she can be talaway on the previous time she wore it. You know, so what's the chiddush of Mem Hay?
No, the chiddush is that she checked it before the last time she wore it. She checked it, wore it once when she wasn't pregnant, and then wore it once when she was pregnant.
But wouldn't that always...
So it's a chalakah batak that she wore twice.
But if she wore it and like went out and did all her regular things, I guess...
No, but she didn't go any place where there's Shukshel Tabachim or anything. Okay. So, the... So just like 1 through 7 here, apply both to Rachel and Rachel and to Rachel and Leah. Likewise, here what we have is that Rachel is Tola on Leah... If Rachel is Meuberes and Leah is a normal Tahora, or Menekes, or Zekena, or Kitana, right, then she's Tola on the normal woman. Why? This is obviously because of scientific likelihood. And, or Rachel, she can also be Tola on herself, but just don't make a terrible mistake. Don't think it means that if she checked. Again, there are two cases. She wore when she was not pregnant. Then she wore when she was pregnant. And then she found the kesem. That's not the case we mean. We mean the case is she checked the clothing, wore when she was non-pregnant, counted shivanakiyam and tovelt, then wore when she was pregnant, and then found the kesem. Here, she can say, I didn't find it now when I was pregnant. I'm told on my previous identity when I was not pregnant. And since I already went to the mikvah, it's no problem. So in this case, she is Tola. In this case, Tliya doesn't help. Right? Don't misinterpret this machaber. Tliya doesn't help in this case. Like, even if the stain came when she wasn't pregnant, if she didn't go to the mikvah in between, she's still Tmeya. Right? Who cares if it came when she was pregnant or not? She still is Tmeya now. So this plea only works if she went to the mikveh in between. Otherwise, Mimana Shel, she's Tmeya. Yes?
Is there an afkamina for like counting 5 days or 7 days?
No.
Why not?
Because the 5 days doesn't depend on formal Tuma. The 5 days depends on whether you knew you were tummy. So it's not going to make a difference.
She
has to start down to Shivanakiyam either way.
Not
unless she happens to be in the middle of Shivanakiyam or something. You know, I guess you're right. Let's say she wore it when she was not pregnant, and then she happens to be on the fourth day of Shivanakiyam and wears it when she's pregnant and finds it. Then it would make an afkamina. Fair enough. You're right. Okay, Mem Vav. Mem Vav is a chaluk. Shalavashim menidasa v'niskabes. She wore it twice. It could be two women or one woman. It would be the same thing. Just the example here is... one woman, but she washed it in between. So now the question is, and here the Gemara discusses, well, what's the effect of washing? Do we assume that it must be a new stain, because an old stain would have come out in the wash, or not? And what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that we don't trust that old stains came out in the wash. However, we do trust that when Jewish women do their laundry, they check for stains, and if they didn't notice anything, then it must have come out. Meaning, we don't assume that if a guy washes a clothing, it takes out the stains. No, because stains are tough, and their washing machines were not so effective. But we do assume that when a from Jewess washes clothing, she checks if there's any ksamim, makes sure to get them out, and if not, like makes a note of them. And therefore, what do we say? Cholik shel vash mei nidos min niskaves v'chazor levashto v'zman shi tahora b'lo b'dika. In this kabe, so she checked the chaluk. She wore it once, washed it, and wore it again. Wore it once when she was anida, went to the mikvah, washed it, and then wore it again.
So we want to know, should we blame it on her old need that she already told him from she's fine? Or do we have to blame it on her now? Or is it 50-50, in which case we have to blame it on her now? So, in this Kabes al Yidei Yisraelis, Ve'enam Faneinu Lishol, Chazakam Dakta Mishas Kibos. If a Jew washed it and is not available now, then the chazaka is that she checked for stains and the stain wasn't there when she washed it, and therefore it's a new stain. Ve'ena tolaba, she can't be tola. But if the Jewish laundress is in front of us and says she forgot to check for stains, then tola, then we can be tola that it was from before him when she was a nida. And it didn't come out in the wash. And if it was washed by a shifcha or a non-Jewish woman, then whether they're here or not, we don't bother to ask them because they've known them on us. That's what the Shach says in Sukkot and Samach Gimel, that we assume that it's 50-50, and therefore we're tola on the nida. Let's just put that on the board. We want to know if it's a new stain or an old stain, right? So, if it's a new stain, she's tmeah. It's a new stain from now. If it's 50-50, then she's tahora, because she could be told it was in the old days when she was a nida. So, which one is it? Is it a new stain or an old stain? So, what do we say if who is the launderer? If it's a Yisraelis, ve'ena b'faneinu, then we assume chazaka shebadka, which means that it is a new stain. And a new stain is tmeah. If it's Yisraelis, the omeres shelo badka, or if it's a shifcha, or it's a nachris, then we assume that it's 50-50. It could be an old stain, and therefore, if the new stain, she's tmeah. If it could be an old stain, then we're tola in her old days when she was anida and she is tahora. Okay, that is the basic principle. Where does it get a little more complicated? There's a three-way machlokas tanaim. Is there any other way to tell? If no one checked, is there any way to tell? What's the principle? The principle is that there's no chazaka that it came out in the wash. Right? That's by the Gemara, but they are poshe. There's no chazaka it came out in the wash. We have no idea if it came out in the wash. There's a chazaka, a Jew would have checked it. Unless they say they didn't. But in Astam, a Jew would have checked it. Okay. Is there any other way to tell if it's new or old? So there's a three-way locus tanaim. The Rav Meir says there's no way to tell. The Rambam passes it that way. Rav Acha says you make another stain and then you put another stain on it and then you wash it and then you see what a wash stain looks like and what a fresh stain looks like and you can tell if this looks more like a wash stain or a fresh stain. No one passes like it. Rebbe says you tell if it's maktir or makdir, which means penetrates, or maglid, or stays on the surface. What does it say? A new stain is on the surface. The old stain, what's on the surface, got washed away. It's just inside the fabric. Right? So you can tell by looking at it if it's fresh or not, by if it's on the surface or if it's inside the fabric. And most Rishonim Paskin like, so says Rav Meir, nothing. Says Rav Acha, she washes it again. She doesn't have to put another stain. She just washes it again. And then you can tell, right? If you have a stain, you wash it again, says it looks exactly the same, then that shows it was already washed. If you have a stain, you wash it again, and you say, oh, this totally changed in the wash, then you know it wasn't washed. And no one paskins like him. The Rambam paskins like Meir. But most Rishonim paskins like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that says it depends if it's makadir, koder is inside, or maglid, like glid, is frost, is on the outside. Glida is called glida. It comes from... had nothing to do with this. Glida, ice cream is called glida because ice cream comes from the word for ice or frost. And frost is always on the surface above something. And that's why it's called glida. So it's very indirect. And this is how the other Rishonim paskin and how we paskin like Rebbe. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Shulchan Aruch says that v'im niska
If we can check, you can tell by looking at it. If it penetrates, it's inside the beged, you know it's from before the wash. The maglid, if it's on the surface, so you can tell. If you can tell, then you can tell, right? What if you're not going to tell him? You have to be machmir. Okay, this is a big machlokas. Rishonim. But before we get to that, let's just see in what circumstances are we, in what circumstances do we do this test of machdir and maglid, right? So the simple pshat is that if a Yisraelis told us she didn't check, so it's 50-50 whether it's before it was washed or after it was washed. If a guy or a shifka washed it, 50-50 before it was washed or after it was washed. So if it's a case of 50-50, then how do we resolve the 50-50 suffix? We resolve the 50-50 suffix by saying, if it's machdir, then we know it is old and she is tahora. If it's maglid, then we know it's new and she is tamea. If we ain't a bikia, if she's not an expert enough at laundry and she can't tell, then what do we do? Do we say Safi Gerben Lakula, that's one sheet in the Rishonin, or do we say she's Tamea? What do we paskin? We paskin Tamea Misafi. Why is she Tamea Misafik? Why not say Safik Darbana Lakula? This is a Safik Chesun idea. Remember, just because you can't tell, you can always bring it to someone who can tell, right? Just because you're a fool, right? Why Tamea Misafik? Because this is a Safik called Chesun idea. It's not an authentic Safik. It's just that you didn't bother to figure it out.
Just to clarify, this is a case when you can't be told on your main idos?
No. This is a case when you couldn't be told on your main idos. Aha! So, hold on a second. That's the Shach's question. He says, didn't the Shulchanot just say Stam, she's Tahora in this case? But then we say, if she's Machdir, we know the answer. If it's Magdir, we know the answer. If we don't know the answer, Tamea. So, what's the case when it meant like Tahora without getting into it? So, says the Shach, what's the case where it's Stam Tahora if, right, Nevad HaBeged, if you lost the, if you don't have it in front of you, if you don't have it in front of you, that's not a chesed idea. If you don't have it in front of you, then you don't have anything. It's an authentic suffix. So he says, he sticks that into the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if he means that's the Shulchan Aruch's intention or that's just the conceptual result of the Shulchan Aruch. What does he say? He says, if you can't do the Machdir Maglid test, because objectively, like, the beged got lost, or, you know, I don't know, fell into a can of paint or something, and it's too late, then she's the Horek, and then 50-50, you could do a Tliya. Right? 50-50, you do a Tliya. If you can do the test, then if it looks old, it's old. If it looks new, it's new. And if you're not sure, you have to be machmir.
Does that mean the lechatchila, the best option is to do the test to see if you can tell, and it's only if you lost it and that's not available, then you lose?
Yes. Okay. Now, however, this is a bit of machlok to show him. Not that this is going to come up a ton, and we'll explain why in a second, but let's just fill in two other details. What about in this case? If a Yisraelis, right, Torah, why? Because we are, she is Tola, Bimei Nidusa, and she's Tahora. Ah, she's Tola Bimei Nidusa because 50-50, but it's only 50-50. She lost it. If it's here, it's not 50-50. If it's Machdir, then we know the answer. If it's Machdir, we know the answer. And if she doesn't know how to tell, then she's stupid, and she has to be Machdir. Okay, now, what about, let's continue in this a little. Says the, here we have a whole thing where Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a big, big, big chumrah. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, yeah? That's a good question. Meaning, can you be tola b'makom chesun yedio or not? Right? Is tlias kesem in some ways more makom than regular safek d'rabanan lekulas? In some ways, not. So in this way, and which is really the machlokes we showed him here, right? Why is there machlokes we showed him here? Because that's the machlokes. Do we say this? This is adopt some of the rules of safek d'rabanan lekula? Or do we say, no, this is special Taliyah and is more Mekel? Okay, so we paskin, no, this has the normal rules of Rabban Lukulu. Okay, the Rabbi Akiva Eger is a big chomer. He says, nowadays, no one's a bucky in this test. Right? Why does he say that? Because there's a certain Mesorah in the late Ashkenazic Achronim, Rishonim, and early Achronim, that we're not Bekiyim in anything nowadays. Sfardim never had this inyan. They're only not Bekiyim in things that, you know, we actually don't know anything about nowadays. But, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, we're not Bekiyim nowadays. If we're not Bekiyim nowadays, then you can't do this test. Then what happens? Well, since we're not Bekiyim nowadays, but it's a Chesrin Yediyah, so it's always Tameah. So that's two big assumptions. One big assumption is that we're not Bekiyim nowadays. I don't know, how hard is it to tell Makdir or Maglit? It's not rocket science. You don't need, like, to be on Har Sinai to do that. It's not very posh and malabatish. You don't need to be Malachi Asharis and to be close to Sinai to do that. It seems pretty straightforward. Not to mention the fact that it's tremendous Machlokes Shachronim. Let's say we all lost our Bekiyus of something. Is that called Chesrin Yediyah? Or no, if we all lost our Bekiyus, it's a real suffix. Maybe say we're all stupid, it's Chesrin Yediyah. Or no, if we're all stupid, then we're all smart. Right? Then that means the information is not available, Buzman Hazan.
Or like the way the Lamos can say is that, okay, you're not a buggy, so go to another buggy.
Exactly. You can't go to, right? It's a suffix Chesrin Yediyah Hador is the, what some of the Achronim say. That's a tremendous Machlokes Achronim. It actually comes up in the Nosa Kalim in Simon Sani Ches. What if it's the whole door is not a bucky? Lemaisa, the Badei Shulchan says, we don't do Machmer Zman Hazeh. After all, who says we're not Bekiyim nowadays? And even if we're not Bekiyim nowadays, who says that means that we should be Machmer? Maybe that means we should be Mekel. So Lemaisa, we're not Choshish for that. We assume we're Bekiyim even Zman Hazeh.
Isn't the way Mary is presenting it before that Leah just basically functioning within the framework of Safi Derabam Kula, which is the addition of Tarki Safi? So then it makes a lot of sense that we wouldn't be more Mekel by the Taliyah than by Safi Derabam Kula itself regarding the certain idea. Okay.
Right. At least this kind of Taliyah. I mean, there could be, again, it could be different than Taliyah of Makor versus outside, as opposed to Taliyah of one Makor versus a different Makor. But at least one Makor versus a different Makor seems to be more like Safi Derabam Kula. There's a machlokes rishonim whether this is tamei misafik or tahora, but we all know it's chesrin yediyah, so it must be a machlokes as to whether we use regular safik around the kula or we have special kulas. Okay, one other machlokes I'll just mention very briefly. This has to do with how to read this very hard shach in Zivkat and Samach Aleph, which the achronim argue first what the shach means and then whether he's right. But what about in this case? In this case, we were just assumed it was new and it's tamei, right? So what if we check and we discover that it is maglit? Then that just confirms the standard psak. If it's maglit, that proves it's new. The standard psak is that it's new. So, and that she's tamei, that's no chiddush. But what if we find it's maglit? Maglit proves it's old. But the chazakah is that the Jewish laundry woman checked and there were no stains and it's new. On the one hand, there's a chazakah that she checked when she did laundry, and there were no. She gave it to me without stains, so it's a new stain, so I'm tamei. On the other hand, my eyes see that it's makdir, and it looks like an old stain. So which wins? The chazakah that the laundry woman took care of all the stains, if she was Jewish, or that I see it's makdir? Okay, this is actually machlokes rishonim. Do I say that proves it's old, and she's tahora? Or do we say, nope, that that loses to the chazaka, and she's still tmeya? Right, just weighing two evidence, makdir versus chazaka. Okay, how do you weigh the two pieces of evidence? I don't know if it's deep lundus or if it's just how you weigh the evidence. Lemaisa, it's a tremendous machlokes rishonim, quoted in the quoted in the Shach a little. It's a machlokas Rashba and Ra'ah in the Torah Sabayas versus the Ra'ah and Hilasagos in the Bedekabayas. So the Rashba says Tmeya, the Ra'ah says Tahora. Among the Achronim, they argue what the Shach means, but most of the Achronim, such as the Torah Sashlamim and the Rabbi Akiva Eger, agree with the Rashba here, So, not that it's likely to come up, but we would pass like the Rashba. That's what most of the Rishonim on the Daf do. There's no Pesukei Tshuva here, but it's in the Rabbi Akiva Eger here and in the Torah Shlomim here. And the Shach is a little hard to read. And, you know, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, the Shach's like the Rashba, and we pass like him. The Torah Shlomim says, the Shach's like the Ra'ah, but we pass like the Rashba anyway. But the Maisa, most of them pass like the Rashba. Okay. The Bizman Azeh, the modern day post, can point out that our washing machines are better than some of their laundry in the old days. And they say in our washing machines, there's no way, I mean, again, unless you don't use a washing machine in a standard fashion. You know, but I'm not talking about someone who's, you know, I don't know, in Shloshim and using the washing machine without soap. You know, someone who uses a normal washing machine, or someone's washing machine is broken. Someone who uses a normal washing machine nowadays, there's no way that a stain can come out of our washing machine looking normal anymore. Yeah, our washing machines don't get rid of every blood stain. Blood stains are tough stains, but they make them very faint. Our washing machines make the blood very faint. And therefore, you can almost always tell nowadays if you haven't, let's say she wore it once, then washed it, then wore it again. She wants to know if it's an old stain or a new stain. Nowadays, you can almost always tell if it's a strong stain, it's obviously new, there's nothing to talk about. If it's a very faded stain, it's obviously old, there's nothing to talk about. So nowadays, it's usually, because we have better washing machines, it's usually very clear and you don't need to come on to all these, things. Also, we don't have a chazaka that anyone checks nowadays. Why don't we have a chazaka that anyone checks nowadays? Probably because we have good washing machines and we rely on them. So nowadays, it's almost always obvious what's the difference between an old stain and a new stain, because our old stains are so faded, because our washing machines are good, and therefore you shouldn't need these halachas. You never know. Obviously, once it could happen a case where even with our modern washing machines, you can't tell. But it's the poskim assume that nowadays we're bekiyim, that we know how our washing machines work, and we know how to tell the difference between an old stain and a new stain, and you'll very rarely have a suffix. Okay, let's just take 2 minutes. Catch up a little, and then we'll leave the rest of the simon for next time. But mem zayin. Love shechalak habadiklo upshato v'kavasto v'shilat v'chaverta v'nimtzot love kesem im magled v'yaduah shemeshniyahi v'hitmeah v'rishona Torah v'imu makdir v'yaduah shemeshonahi hu v'hitmeah v'shniyah Torah. If someone checked a dress, she wore it, she washed it, gave it to her friend, she doesn't know if it's an old stain from her or a new stain from the friend. Then she used the same test of Maglid Makdir that she did in Simon Memvav. And the Shach points out here that all the rules apply. Basically, the same rules in Sif Memvav for deciding between new Rachel and old Rachel are the same rules for deciding between Rachel and Leah in all these cases, except for some of the first 3 days Shivan Akiyam Elchana will make me point out. But in all these cases, we use the same rules in determining whether it's from me or from the old me, as we do whether it's from me and from someone else. So Mem Zayin is just Xerox Mem Vav and put Rachel and Leah instead of Rachel now and Rachel beforehand. Mem Ches. Shtei Nasim Shalav Shukolik Echa Badek Nimtzo Bo Kesem. Imhu. And this is all, Mem Ches is pure common sense. There's nothing here that's not obvious common sense. Imhu Miachor Lamatal Shteihem. Just a dress. Keep in mind, if there's a spot on the dress, is that below the belt or above the belt? Depends how tall I am. If I'm tall, that spot will be above my belt. If I'm short, that spot will be below my belt. Right? So therefore, for one woman it could be above the belt, for one woman it could be below the belt. So what's the rule? And this is, again, just partially common sense. Two women who wore one checked garment and found the kesem after they both wore it. So below the belt for both of them, they're both tmeos. It's above the belt for both of them, they're both tmeos. One tall, one short. If it's below the belt for the tall one, it's certainly below the belt for the short one, and they're both tmeos. If it's below the belt for the short girl and above the belt for the tall girl, then Tzara Tmei Ruka Tahara. Obviously, the short girl's Tmei because it's below her belt. The tall girl's Tahara because it's above her belt. When does this all apply? When they didn't take off their dress to cover their hair at night. Because at night, they would get in their blanket. They wouldn't need a dress. They'd put the dress on their hair. But if they cover their hair at night, if they both cover their hair, they're both Tmeos. Because remember, whatever's on your hair at night can come off, and unless it's tied tightly, and you find it tied tightly in the morning, mistama comes off and goes all over your body at night and becomes below the belt. Kiss the achmei or rosh of a lo ashniya, also she kissed the rosh tamei of a charet Torah. If it was above the belt for both of them, and one of them covered it here at night, and it might have gone anywhere in the bed, and the other one didn't, then the one who covered it here at night is tamei, because it could have gone below her belt, and the other one is tahora, and it's pretty straightforward. Memtes, and with this, we were, Memtes starts three women. Until now, we're talking about two women. Now we're up to three women. Not that I'll be lumdus, it's such a big difference, but maybe we will call it a day now, and we'll, our next, what's, today is Tuesday. So Sunday, we'll not have shiur, but next year will be Tuesday in a week from now, and in the next year, we will easily be able to finish Siman Kuf Tzadi and hopefully do a, you know, Kuf Tzadi Aleph is complex, but at least do some introduction and some basics of Kuf Tzadi Aleph as well. So next year, Tuesday, we'll have a 2 o'clock sharp. Hopefully it'll be a normal day. We'll finish Kuf Tzadi and start Kuf Tzadi Aleph, and wishing everyone a very happy and enlightening Hanukkah.
In Memtes, didn't spell out the case of if one woman used it as a dress and one woman used it as a sleeping hat, and in which case
he said he unlocked it.